Guten Morgen zusammen. Ich brauche bitte zwei Volontäre, die mir helfen mit Übersetzung. Einmal auf Deutsch und einmal auf Russisch. Du übersetzt auf Deutsch? Ah, danke. Wer könnte uns helfen? Ich mache auf Deutsch, auf Englisch. Deswegen brauchen wir jemanden, der für gut übersetzt. Thank you. Und du machst noch Englisch auf Russisch. Danke sehr. Brauchen wir das nicht? Okay, danke dir, Boris, für die schöne Lieder und auch das du übersetzt für uns. Lass uns mit deinem Gebet anfangen. Heavenly God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing all of us here. We pray that we will learn something today together from each other, and that at the end of the day we will be better people, and then we will live our lives to please you better. All this I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. What do I want to talk about today? I want to talk about something that we already know. It's just a reminder. There's nothing new in this. And yeah, let's remind ourselves of this. When you hear the numbers 40 and 41, does it, or when you hear the number 40 in the Bible, does this bring any associations to you? Do you think of anything? The number,
Okay,
40 isn't 49. And what has, what's this 40? Okay, that's fine.
40 years in the desert.
40 years in the desert. 40 years in the wilderness.
40 days of fasting.
Jesus fasted for 40 days.
It rained 40 days.
It rained. Noah, it rained for 40 days.
It rained.
Yeah.
14.
I think that's the end of what we want to talk to. Everybody can go home. We learned everything.
Right.
So, I'm going to do a summary now. So the next 60 seconds is everything we need to know. Everything I say after the next 60 seconds is just blah, blah. This 40 we just talked about, it has a lot to do with trials, testing, tribulation, going through the wilderness. But at the end of the day, there is always a 41 that comes after 40, which is then the breakthrough and the good things. What I'm going to tell us today, we already know this, is that during this, our 40, it could be days, it could be years, the time we were in the ark with Noah or in the wilderness, during these times of trials and tribulation, God is with us, let us persevere, and at the end of the day, things will become good. That's everything we're talking about today. Let us go through some examples from the scripture. Somebody talked about the 40 days of rain. We see that with Noah and his sons. Also, Moses was on the mount for about 40 days when he wanted to get the New Testament, the covenants, the commandments. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they finally met the promised land. Elijah also fasted for 40 days when he went to Mount Sinai. And before Christ started his ministry, he fasted for 40 days. All these times we see that it's a time of struggle, and then at the end of the day, things get better. All I'm trying to say today is that the 41 is coming. 40 might spend some time, but it's going to come. Let us read some passages from the Bible.
Okay.
Actually, we still need to
get
it. Bits of the Gesetz an solchen letzte Woche schon jemand gesagt, es wird sehr schnell sehr laut. Wenn es geht, ein bisschen leiser. Man unterschätzt das einfach, wenn man spielt, deswegen einfach nur mal den, weil wenn zwei Leute übersetzen, relativ laut, einfach durch den Hall oder so.
Du meinst, dass die Übersetzer nicht so laut reden oder alle anderen?
Die Übersetzer.
Die Übersetzer ein bisschen leiser.
Danke sehr. Thank you.
Das hat letztes Mal auch so, bitte guck mir nicht so böse, dass er da eine Intervention ja. Geht. Man unterschätzt das, wie schnell das dann laut wird, wenn man dann spricht.
Ja, okay, du lauter, aber ich.
Du betonst
unlangsam.
Ah, okay, langsam. Slow. Okay, erstens lesen wir Genesis Chapter 7, Verse 12. Anyone who finds it can read. Genesis 7, 12. Let's just remind ourselves from the Bible what we just saw.
I got you.
Read. Yeah, come on.
Stand up for this.
You can read, Stephen. Okay.
And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Thank you. And Exodus 24, verse 18. Exodus 24, 18. Zweiter Mose 24:18. Yeah, get it.
So Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and he went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Imagine sitting on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Mm-hmm. Who can? What will you be doing there? If there's?
It depends if there's internet.
If there's internet. But we know there was no internet. So imagine what he was doing there for 40 days and 40 nights. Or imagine Noah and his sons and the animals. Most likely these animals were smelly. Probably, because animals, yeah, I don't know what. They don't take their bath.
No shower.
Okay, let's read again. Numbers 14:33. Numbers 14:33. 14:33. Numbers 14:33. Anyone can read.
And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the burnt and the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness.
Thank you. And after this prophecy, after they had wandered for this time, they still made it to the promised land. They still made it to the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Let's read 1 Kings 19, verse 8. 1 Kings 19, verse 8. Yeah, okay.
1 Kings 19, verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God.
Thank you. So we see Elijah here. He lost his purpose in life after he had killed several prophets of Baal. He had an issue with what's her name? Bathsheba. Jezebel. He had an issue with Jezebel, and she wanted to kill him. And then he went to the wilderness for about 40 days, like you see here. Imagine what he was doing there while he was going to the mountain. I don't think he wasn't having a good time. Let's read again Matthew 4, verse 2. Matthew 4, verse 2.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry.
Thank you. So he was hungry, and then the devil tested him, and yeah, he overcame. Our Lord Jesus overcame after all the tests and after suffering for these 40 days. Now I have another question for us. I guess that we already have an association with the number 40. You can speak of that.
He said midlife crisis.
Elijah was going through midlife crisis. I guess, and that's why he went to the party. Yeah, I want to assume, I might be wrong, that everybody here is in a situation in their life. It could be a 40 situation or a 41 situation. So, midlife crisis, not a good situation, or 41 in the land of milk and honey. This is my first assumption. Now, secondly, I want to assume that our lives are not made up of one event, but several events. So it's a cocktail. In some events, we are in 41, and in other events, we are having a 40 situation. So in this cocktail of our lives, how do we continue to live the life and be in God's good side? How do we not allow the 40 situations to overwhelm us and overshadow the 41 situations that we have? Let us remind ourselves of something. Or does anybody want to share, if I'm in a 40 situation, what are some things I could do to make me believe and remember that the 41 is coming? Let's read the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 10. Luke 16:10. As usual, anyone who finds can read.
Thank you. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much.
Thank you very much. I think this passage tells me that in this cocktail of my life, the little 41s that I have, I should work on them and make them bigger, and I should not allow the 40s to overshadow. So let us, this is an encouragement to myself and an encouragement to you that we should remain steadfast and faithful in Christ and our Lord. Let us read again 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. I expect somebody to know it without looking. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 17, I guess. Check. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Exactly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here we can see that prayer will help us in such circumstances. So this is a reminder to all of us that during these times of 40, we should remember to pray and ask God for help, and at his time he will come. Also, something that is important is timing. I know there's a place in the Bible that says 1 year or 100 years in the eye of God is like 1 year in the eye of God is like 100 years in man's time. Thank you. So we should trust God's timing. Maybe we want it now, but God has a better plan for us, and at His time we will cross from the 40 to 41. Let's read James chapter 1 from 2-4. James chapter 1 from verse 2-4. Anybody who finds it can read.
I got it.
Again.
James chapter 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Mm-hmm. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Thank you very much. So this is an encouragement to us that no matter how difficult it gets, we can see it as a refinement of our character. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we should use it to grow spiritually. this is what I want to share with us today. Let us also read Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, 12. Anyone who finds can read? I'll read. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So, because of the disappointments and the frustrations we have, we should not then turn towards despair. Let us, this is a call for to myself, I'm speaking to myself, and to all of us that we should, in these times of 40, we should not turn towards despair, we should not, we should wait for our breakthrough to come. And there's a place in the Bible that I really like, that I want to add. It has to do with serving others. When I'm in this 40 situation, I could also think of how to turn my situation into blessings to others. How can I serve others in these times? Let us read Psalm 41 from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 41, 1 to 3. Psalm 41, and in Fiatish. And Mr. Light.
Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them.
Okay. Psalm 41, 1 to 3. Может быть, Псалом по-русски будет 41. We can see here that if we serve others, there are people who are needy amongst us, there are people who are maybe weaker amongst us. During this time of despair, during this time of 40, we could use some of our energy to serve these people, and God will continue to guide us as we do this. There's something that I never do, that I just found out about, and it's, you can find it in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Habakkuk, So, I'm a person who almost never writes. I don't take notes. But here in Habakkuk, it tells me something different. Let's read it and see. Anyone who finds it can read.
Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it.
Thank you very much. So, Habakkuk 2:2. Here we see us being encouraged to write down. So during this time of 40, you may have prayers you want to say to God. You may want to record some things. Write it down, and God will help us to move, to transition from that 40 situation to the 41 situation faster. Now, let's assume that we are in other circumstances living in a 41 situation, or we have transitioned from a 40 situation in our life in whatever circumstance, and now we are in a 41 situation. Things are good. Another question would be, during this time when things are good, what could I do, or what should I be doing? Does anybody have a clue? So, during the times when I'm in the land of milk and honey, when everything is fine for me, what are some things I could do? What are some things I could remember? So, we just talked about, when times of despair, what are things I could do? And now, in some situations in my life, things are going fine. What could I do in these situations? Or if I have successfully transitioned from a 40 situation to a 41, what are some things I could do? Let's remind ourselves of this and let's see what the Bible says.
I guess probably keep serving.
Keep serving, correct. That's my note. I have the word keep serving here in my notes. Keep serving. Okay, cool.
I would just stay humble.
Stay humble. Walk in humility. I have that here. Walk in humility to give service. Okay.
Don't take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted, yeah. Thank you. Don't take it for granted, yeah.
I think also give thanks.
Give thanks, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for the reminder. Now let's read some Bible passages to remind us of these things. First of all, James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, 6. Anyone who finds it can read. Jacobus. James 4, 6.
But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
So let's stay humble. When we are in the land of milk and honey, the punchline here is remember to stay humble, like our brother said, walk in humility. Let's be a good steward for these blessings that we have. I know there's a famous parable in the Bible about stewardship. Let's read Luke chapter 12 from verse 42 to 44. Luke 12, 42 to 44.
32?
Mm-hmm. Luke 12, 42 bis 44. Almost translating for us. Thank you. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 to 44. Anybody who finds it can read.
The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them the food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions.
Thank you very much. Here we can see that during those times when I live in the land of milk and honey, I should remember to be a good steward of this. I should manage it properly and perhaps show other people how to get there. So let's keep serving also. When we are in these times of good, let's keep serving. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So this is a reminder for us that we should not stop serving God, because even Joseph, when he became second in command in Egypt, he continued to be faithful. What we could do is, things are better now, we feel good. Maybe sometimes when we are in despair, we come closer to God. And when things become good, we turn our backs to Him. This is an encouragement to one another that in times of good, let us continue to serve God. We should give God thanks. We should give Him the glory. He wants to be glorified for the good things in our lives. Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. It says, it is not in me, God
knows. Genesis?
Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. Where can get time then? Is it Genesis 41, 16? Anyone who finds it can read it.
And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.
Thank you. You remember Joseph, the dreamer, blah, 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 the guy who used to interpret dreams? He could have said, I'm so cool, I interpreted this dream. But he gave God the glory. He said it is God who will interpret. Capital Anupias is best Zexen. She's Nazi. So Joseph gave the glory to God. So when we are in these times when things are going fine, let us remember to acknowledge God's help. Also, let us read Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, 20. Guys, once.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. strength according to the power that worketh in us.
Thank you. This passage, I want us to think about it as follows. God has made things good in our lives. We are living in the 41 situation. Everything is good. But God is still telling us that He can do even greater than that. So, this is the opportunity for us to expand our mind, to think big, and trust that God can do even more than He has already done. We should remember encouragement to us that even though God has already done ABC for us, He can still do DEF. So let's expand our minds, let's trust that God can even do more. Something else we could do when we are in these times of happiness and good things, we can testify and encourage others. We can tell others how God has been good to us, and this will encourage them. So let's testify about the goodness of our Lord. Psalm 105 verse 1. Psalm 105 verse 1. Wonderful eyes. Salom. Stopiat. Elijah 23. Verse eyes.
Yeah. Psalm 105 verse 1. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done.
Mm-hmm. Make known among the nations what He has done. Mm-hmm. Let's testify about the goodness of the Lord to others, and this will encourage others.
Yeah.
This is all I wanted to share with us today. I pray that God will help us, that during the times of despair, we will continue to live in Him, continue to wait on Him, and the times when things are going good, we will remember to give Him the glory and testify of His goodness to mankind. Thank you very much. Now is the time when we will dine with our Lord. And we do it not as a tradition, but because we are instructed to do so. And Omo will tell us one or two words before we take the word. Thank you.
Amen. It's a great thought from Igoche. Because a lot of times, you know, it's easy to focus on the 40, you know, and not remember that we have some 40 ones. We have victories already in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for the reminder. It was a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Also to remember, I think one of the most important points for me is, what am I doing with what God has given me now? You know? Because it's always easy to say, God, you haven't given me the other ones. What am I doing with what God has given me now? Amen. There comes a time in our service this morning when we're going to talk about the communion. You know, and for those who do not know, the communion is always broken down into two parts, right? We have the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and we have the blood, you know, that sanctifies us and cleanses us of our sins. You know, but for me, I always have to ask this question: What does communion mean to you? You know, when you take the communion, what does it mean to you? You know, because for a lot of, when I was growing, so as a kingdom kid, you know, when you move into the church, and you see everybody taking communion, and you don't know what is happening. And then you see some people just go to one corner and they're just so quiet, you know. And some people just take it and they just laugh, you know. But the communion means different, has a different meaning for every person.
Mm-hmm.
And because everyone has a different relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the communion personally mean for you? So I'm going to just show you my own perspective of what the communion means for me. And that's in Hebrews 4. So this is what the communion means for me. So anytime you see me quiet and about to take the bread and wine, know that this is me. In verse 14, Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, for me, I don't always feel worthy taking the communion. Amen. Because every time I take the communion, I'm at an introspective space where I ask myself, how was my week spiritually? Amen. Every time the communion starts, that's the first question I'm asking. And for me, because I'm a very introspective person, I see a lot of my flaws pop up. And then I start to feel small, you know, and I start to feel unworthy, even as a disciple. And I remember a lot of times in the past, and even till now, I'm like, I don't want to take the communion. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel holy enough. And then my spirit reminds me, when ever have you been righteous? When ever have you been holy? It is God, through Jesus Christ, that sanctifies you of your sin. You know, as a family in the past, we did Hebrews. When we read Hebrews, we got to a point where, you know, the writer in Hebrews was trying to explain Jesus as the highest of priests in the order of Melchizedek in the next passages that follows from Hebrews 4. And what was interesting was the writer explained that people would take sheep, you know, goats, and go to Jerusalem and give the priest to sacrifice for their behalf. But the people were not certain that their sin had been forgiven. Because the thought is this priest righteous? What if the priest is in sin? Does that mean God will not hear my prayer? But we have a priest that we can 100% say with 100% certainty that when we call on his name, we have that assurance that God will answer. For example, if Igote was the priest of the Dusseldorf church, and we have to give Igote a sheep, you might go home thinking, what if Igote wasn't righteous this week? I saw Igote have an outburst last week or 2 weeks ago. What if that outburst, God still has that sin, and because of that, God is not going to take our sacrifice? But that's not the case we have with Jesus. Amen? We have a priest that we are 100% certain, you know, that he will hear us and he will intercede for us to the Father. And we have faith that the Father will hear him because he was what? While he was on earth, he was righteous. So, for me, I'm a sinner. You know, my mom always reminds me that I don't know where you would be without God. I don't know where you would be without salvation. I don't know where you would be without God's church. And that's the truth. You know, when you see me and you observe me very closely, you can see that, man, if you take the church and the God element out, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. But Jesus has cleaned that mess. And he continues to purify that mess. And so, I want us to have that mentality to ask, what does the communion mean to me personally? Find out the true meaning, your personalized meaning of what the communion is. And then when you want to take the communion, remind yourself of that meaning. And give thanks for that meaning. You know? So we'll pray for the bread and the wine before we take it this morning.
But yeah, I just want us to think about the meaning of the communion personally, and then take the communion. Amen? Let us pray.